Hey, 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 listeners. Welcome to Live with Irenia Stories. I'm your host, Irenia Roussel. I'm incredibly excited to welcome you to this podcast and thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I'm super excited about our guest, and I know that you're going to be too. But first, to my listeners who are dropping by for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. Don't touch this dial. And to my avid fans, thank you so much for continuing to tune into this podcast. Right now, we are halfway through the season, and so far, I've been getting some super feedback from many of you, and I appreciate it. As you requested, my goal is to provide you with as much educational information as possible to help you make seamless pivots in your career and entrepreneurial journey. Right? I hope that you got a chance to listen to the last 7 episodes of Dynamic Female Professional who are making waves in their careers and entrepreneurial journeys, and their stories are still unfolding. I mean, you will have a chance to really dig deep into looking at your career, your current state, and what you're thinking about your future state based on the past episodes. And today's episodes will get you thinking much more about team development. Listen, the possibilities in life for new adventures is fully charged on this podcast. So get your spark today and share the love by sharing this podcast with your friends. Today, you will hear from Miss Joanna Cooper, General Manager of Dalma Truck North America, Mount Holly. Miss Cooper was recently named to the Women in Manufacturing Board. She continues to bridge competence and confidence to transform executive leadership and business culture to drive results. She leads an amazing team of nearly 2,000 staff to produce Freightliner M2s and SD Plus medium-duty trucks. Yes, you heard right. She's in the transportation industry. Listeners, in this pivotal time in our careers, workforce development and digital transformation have never been more relevant than now. And as leaders seek to transition product and service portfolios to more sustainable solutions, Joanna is right there at the helm of a team leading the charge. In today's episode, I want you to think about what is your team DNA and how you can leverage human capital to meet your company's goal. Yes? This is Live with Irenia Stories, and I'm your host, Irenia Roussel. Let's head over to Joanna. Welcome, Joanna.
Thank you, Irenia. I am so blessed to be here today.
Well, I know I'm incredibly excited to have you here, a woman of your caliber, a female professional in the transportation industry on the top of her game. So let's give our listeners a little bit about background about you. How did Joanna become the woman that she is today?
Well, Irenia, I wouldn't be the woman that I am today without my parents. They grew up in the South in Louisiana, and before I was even thought of, they moved to Detroit for more opportunity. And I have two sisters, Jenna and Janelle, and my parents worked very hard to give us a much better life than what they had. So my mother was a working mother. She worked for Comerica, and my dad worked 35 years at Chrysler. So I came from a very committed blue collar family living in Detroit, Michigan, born and raised. And that's how I got my start. I went to Detroit Public Schools. I was a Division I college athlete at the University of Detroit Mercy. And so my life was all about competition and meeting people and going places. My parents really made sure to expose us to a lot of different things. And really, it just kind of taught me in life how to say yes. So after some young person, I think I know what I'm doing, trying to be an entrepreneur, making some bad investments in real estate, I was looking for a job. And one day a recruiter called me and he said, I have the perfect job for you. And it was at Detroit Diesel Corporation. And little did I know that this company, who had been around for many, many years before, was only 5 minutes from where I grew up.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, wow.
It was really cool. Like, I knew Chrysler, GM, and Ford, right? Because of the big three, but I didn't know about Detroit Diesel. But that pivoted. And of course, for the interview, I had to learn about everything that the company has to be prepared. So I had three interviews in 1 week. And then in pure corporate fashion, it takes some time. So it took a little bit of time, and I ended up starting working at Detroit Diesel, which was a subsidiary of Daimler AG, in May of 2008. And that's when my story with Daimler began.
Wow. The rest is history, as they would say. And that history, you're going to tell us all about it, because right now you manage a team of over 2,000 staff. So tell us about that journey. How did you become the general manager? Break it down for us, please.
Well, when I started at Detroit Diesel, I was an associate buyer, and I just got in. I had a mentor who told me prior to, like, when you get in, keep your head down. I would change that now a little bit just so that people don't get the wrong meeting, but keep your head down, work as hard as you can, and learn as much as you can about the company. So what I did was, one, I got in and I tried to understand what is it that I'm supposed to be doing and to do that well. And then whenever there was an opportunity to volunteer and to just expand my skills, right, I would help others to fill in the gap, what I would call the gray areas. And that helped me not only build, you know, relationships, but also just to continue to learn. Like, I came in as a sponge, and I continued to say yes. And purchasing gave me an opportunity to say yes to a lot of new things, whether it was a larger scope of responsibility, whether it was a promotion. And for me, it was the opportunity to say yes for an expat assignment, where I lived 3 years in Germany from 2012 to 2015 during global procurement on a bigger scale. Right, that ability to say yes, right, that was also ingrained in me by all of the many experiences that my parents had introduced us to, right, helped me to not only build my skill, but it also gave me an opportunity to build relationships. And then after about 7 years, I knew I didn't want to do purchasing again. I was good at it, but it didn't, like, give me a fire, right, in my soul. And it was always something about me that I'm always looking to not just do a job, but want to be passionate about it. Yes. So I said yes to a different opportunity to return back to Detroit, doing some program and project management for specifically for transmissions, which we didn't build in Detroit at the time at the plant. But the company was installing new equipment in Detroit, manufacturing equipment. And I work with a team of people, right, to fill in some gray areas, right, to help get that launch off the ground. And during that time, I found out I like being in the plant way more than I like being at my desk doing PowerPoint engineering. I had an old boss before he became my boss, George Farrell. He said, hey, let me know when you want to come over to the dark side. He saw me one day. He liked what he saw. And I was like, oh, the dark side. What is that? Right. I'm always looking to do something that's new and provocative. And that dark side was transitioning over to operations. And I had an opportunity to grow in that space by being a manager. And then saying yes to new opportunities, you know, going through crisis, learning how to lead, right? That was my first opportunity to really lead teams and large teams. Yes. And then in 2021, I said yes to pursuing an opportunity for a promotion. And I became the director of production at the Mount Holly Truck Plant, which I'm really grateful for that team there. They are super phenomenal and awesome and have worked so many years since the inception. And, you know, over that time, I got in to continue to learn and grow. And there were some moves that had happened within the company. And I had an opportunity to go for the general manager job. And so that was an opportunity to say yes. And I almost said no. And some things happened around me that just told me, hey, life's too short. Get Joanna, this is exactly what it is that you want to do. So I went for the job and I got it. And I was excited about it and still am ecstatic about it. So say yes.
I love it. I love that message. So many pivots along the way within the same company. And as you said yes. Mm-hmm. And I love that, you know, you talk about going for whether it's a larger scope of possibility in terms of the job and also the promotion. Because a lot of time people start in their career and they're thinking, okay, I got to climb the corporate ladder and I want to get that next promotion. But I love that you talk about, you know, taking on and saying yes to a larger scope of responsibility, which sometimes doesn't necessarily mean the promotion. It could mean a lateral move where you learn some new stuff. I love the fact that you went to Germany. How was it living in Germany? How was that experience?
It was wonderful. I tell people all the time, I really grew up in Germany. You know, when you turn 18, you think you're grown, you think you know what you're doing. When I moved to Germany, I was really, for the first time in my life, on my own. And not just on my own physically, right? You know, it's also learning a new culture. And really everything that I had come to know and believe from how I grew up, it was like blown up. And then the pieces had to fall again. But when they fall, they were really this beautiful abstract versus it being black and white. The friends that I made in Germany, they are my family. I love them to death and they will be friends for life. My girlfriend was here last weekend who I hadn't been able to see since before COVID. And I was truly grateful. I also learned how to dot the I's and cross the T's for myself in my own life. But I also recognize that perspectives are varying and there are many different ways to reach the same goal. And the ability to open up your mindset past what you think you know really enables you, right, to be curious enough to find the most optimal path to get to where you want to go.
I love it. Being curious in life is so important because that's when you ask that question that leads you to that new answer, whether it's the same answer you've had a lot of times or a different answer. So I love that you talk about you grew up, right, in Germany. And I love how beautifully you said it. You know, it blew up, but it turned into this beautiful abstract. Absolutely amazing. So let's come. Present day, Joanna Cooper, managing a team of 2,000 people. How do you lead your team and motivate your team? Because we know that today, in this era, in this pivotal time that we're living, workforce development is so important because knowledge capital, really, that's what drives a company.
In manufacturing specifically for the last few years, it has been very volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Before COVID, there were already several supply chain issues. And then COVID, right, really made everyone take a step back and figure out, right, how do we still move, right? With what we do at Daimler Truck, we keep the world moving. right? If COVID didn't teach us anything, it was how important it is to have trucks on the roll to move toilet paper, right? Any products that we need, right? That is how infrastructure gets built, right?
Yes.
That is also like, because we build buses, that's how kids get to school, right? Mm-hmm. It is a fundamental part of how the world moves. And so, and we rely on people, right? As leaders, we don't do the work, but it's how do we continue to inspire, encourage, and have empathy for the people that we lead, all right? So they feel motivated to come to work, but then they also feel like their work matters. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes not as easy to do in a manufacturing environment, because the old school way was, right, do as I say. Right. But people have changed. Right. We're not in the Great Depression anymore. Right. People want money. Right. But they also want meaning. They also want to feel like they belong. They also want to feel like a family. And so companies and it have had to evolve. We in manufacturing has had to evolve about how do we retain people and keep them motivated and keep giving them opportunities. And so for me, when I talk about leading a team, I'm leading the person who is putting the widget together, and I'm leading the person that's leading, you know, putting the widget together. And I can't do that without first self-leadership, right? Whatever we see, the successes of our teams are a direct reflection of us as leaders and our interior condition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listeners, you heard that? Hit that rewind button right now, because that is a super golden nugget. Continue, Joanna.
So self-leadership precedes team leadership, right? And as healthy as we are as ourselves, my boss would say, the team takes on the image of the leader, right? So physically, mentally, emotionally, even the investments that we make in our own development and our own curiosity, right? We see that in our teams. And so when I'm looking at my team, I'm looking at the DNA. I'm looking at what do we need in the past? What does the landscape look like today? Where are we trying to go for the future, right? And what skills or competencies do we need to build in order to get there? And that's always changing, right? That changes with the people who come and go. That changes when new leaders come in. The DNA of the team is always changing. So it's important to understand where we're going, that true north, that trajectory, right? And then making those decisions for upskilling, not to correct an acute problem solving problem, right? We have to problem solve, right? But also to set us up to maintain our position and maintain the momentum that we have to get to where we want to go.
Yeah. And we know with people, there are different dynamics, there's different personality. You've got a team that know each other, working together for many years. And then when you introduce new people into that team, as a leader, what do you do to help to bring that team culture to the new individuals you onboard?
Well, I think I'm always the new person in the team. So I believe seek first to understand and then to be understood. So it's a balancing match. It's the proper introduction in the team and the proper establishment of clear roles and responsibilities. If you can't articulate for the person that you're bringing in what they're actually supposed to do and define for them what success looks like, you run the risk, right, of everyone's expectations taking the lead, right? And also, while the new person coming in, they're going to bring a new curiosity. I call it like spot the gorilla, right? You see those psychological videos where people are talk about passing the ball around and you count the ball and you completely miss the gorilla, right?
Yes.
New people come in and see things in a much different fashion, and then they might have the energy to change. But it's also leveraging the patience of, you know, can't move too fast, right? Pick which things you need to change first, right? just come in and add value and act like that medium for both the people that have been there and the new person that's coming in, right? To help the team gel and fuse together.
I love that you mentioned, you know, you're a medium between the existing team and the new team member who's coming in with new ideas and ideas for change. How do you handle change management as a leader?
Very good question, and thank you for that. Change is inevitable. Let me start there, right? There's always change. There are smaller changes that are easy to just integrate, right? It doesn't take much, and then you have larger changes. So when I got to Mount Holly, it was still in the middle of COVID, right? But more people were back to work, and we were starting to figure it out just as a world, as a country.
Yes.
And there was oftentimes when we were in our shop floor meetings, because at the same time of COVID, we were having this massive supply chain issues, but also very strong demand for our product, which is a good problem to have.
Yes.
And I would always hear the team talking about, right, this is just not how it used to be. This is not how it used to be. I can't wait till we get back to how it used to be. So I would have to say, guys, gals, because we have women, a lot of women in manufacturing. If you're a woman, come to manufacturing, right? We ain't gonna never get back to how things used to be.
Yes.
What we need to learn how to do is make this volatile situation our new normal and figure out how we can be good here. Right. And I tell that story because I think when you're managing change as a leader, the first and foremost, you have to understand the trajectory. And a lot of times we have to set the expectation. We have to set the direction to create the performance. And
yes.
We have to be able to tell our teams what success looks like. Right. Mm-hmm. And then help them measure that success. Right. Give them inklings. So I find myself oftentimes just being the chief communication officer of the vision.
Yes.
Right. The person that said, hey, this is what goods looks like. Congratulate. Find the small win, right? To build the momentum, right? That they can see that this change is actually creating a result. Right. And that's what we have to do every time, whether it's a small change or a large change. That's what it being that medium. We have to always repeat the vision. We have to always repeat the expectation. And when it comes time to assess and maybe make an adjustment, to be able to communicate, hey, this is what we saw. We're going to make this small adjustment, but we're still headed towards the true north.
Right on, right on. You know, you talk about COVID, and it would be remiss of me not to talk about that, because that has been that, you know, the pandemic has had a significant impact on a lot of different organizations. And you talk about the new normal now. We're not going back to the old things. This is the new normal. So how have you seen your organization change pre-COVID versus now in terms of how you run things?
In terms of how we run things, we've just learned that we can do certain things faster, right? You know, where there are things that would take years to go to meetings and pontificate and try to figure it out, right? COVID forced us to move faster because we needed to create a result. I would say from a structural perspective, we are in a space where the generations in the plant are definitely a lot larger. And so during that time, you know, some people have made some different decisions about what is really meaningful for them in their lives. And so while we have some higher seniority people that have been with the company for 30 plus years, right, they're now starting to retire. And we're bringing in the next generation, right? To keep the momentum and to keep the legacy going. And so what I find is that we are managing through generational change more than anything. And so that causes us to have to take a step back and try to understand what do the millennials like myself or the Gen Xers or, you know, whatever, yes. what do they want? What makes them tick, right? Mm-hmm. What brings value to them? How can I engage their passion so that they are bringing that to work every day? And I'm not telling you that we figured it out. So don't ask me that question because we're still trying to figure it out.
Yes, it's always evolving.
Yeah, but it is always evolving. And so I would say post-COVID, right, that is the change that we are definitely managing. And then I also believe that just the world itself is moving so fast, right? There are so many technologies that are growing. Like we are going on leading the sustainable transportation movement, right? With that is going to always be changed. So we're starting to get used to that and understand that that's what's going to be our new normal, right? That's going to be our fuzzy blanket that we hold on to and to be prepared for that.
And when you talk about the sustainable transformation movement, can you break that down for us just briefly? What does that mean exactly?
In the future, you know, with CO2 and the emissions, the regulations and things like that, right? Our CEO, John O'Leary, he's super phenomenal. And he had, you know, moving at the speed of right? Doing the right things to make sure that not only our company is successful, right? But we leave a world that still exists in the future. And it's not a Mad Max type of environment, right? And that is developing and embracing and investing in new technologies to reduce CO2 emissions in the world.
That's awesome. We know that climate change is real and that we're seeing the significant impacts of that. So kudos to your company for getting into that or being a leader in the sustainable transportation industry, getting cleaner and greener.
Thank you.
So Joanna, Ms. Cooper, what drives you as a leader?
I often say I build people or we build people who build trucks at Mount Holly. I honestly believe that, you know, as a leader, we get to have such a large impact over the lives of the people that we serve. And I use that word serve intentionally. Yes. I believe that when the people show up every day, it's our interactions with them, it's how we lead them, right, to help them to be better problem solvers. They can be better visionaries, right? They could be better tacticians. They can be better subject matter experts. But that better also will carry over into their home life, right? They can be better husbands, wives, and partners, right? Better parents, right? Better friends, and ultimately better citizens of the world, right? The trucks will build themselves, right? We know how to do that, but it's the people that are in our charge that are integral to that success. And the better that we want to be, right, is the investment and the time that we need to give into our people, right? That's really honestly what drives me and drives what I do every single day.
I love it. I love that you see the whole spectrum, right? The people are the hub. And there's so many different facets to people, whether that's the mom, the dad, that mm-hmm. community worker mm-hmm. who comes in, you know, mm-hmm. and build the trucks. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love how you look at this. You know, people, human beings are so dynamic, you know? In terms of women in manufacturing, right? Some women can be intimidated because, I mean, you're working with a company who build trucks, and typically that's a male-dominated industry. So as a female professional, as a leader, what advice do you have for young women who are thinking, I want to get into manufacturing, and what do I need to do to get there?
Well, if you're interested in getting into manufacturing, I would say just do it. And women in manufacturing, right, they span a lot of different types of roles. I have a little bit more of a dominant personality style, let's say that. And dominant may not be the best word, but it's pretty strong. But when I'm at the plant every day, when I'm in manufacturing, I actually feel like I can show up as myself, right? I can be direct yet, but I can also be empathetic, right? I can show all the different sides of me. And, you know, and it's always changing and there's always a new challenge. And so as an athlete, I think I was always just pushed to, you know, be better, do better, right? You're always looking to win. There's a scoreboard every day when you're talking about manufacturing with our key performance indicators. So it actually is a space where I can show up with my perspective. I can show up as I am, and where I can really add value and see the result of that value, right? And certain things, you know, the result is so far down the road, you have to wait to get it, right? I can make a tweak, or our team can make a tweak in the process, and we can immediately get that feedback. Is this taking us in the right direction? Yes or no? And manufacturing needs women. I have been blessed to have some mentors that are also women that have been in the automotive and manufacturing space that were strong women. But they were also women, right? And they didn't fit that traditional mold. And because I never wanted to be like everybody else. And I was able to see those examples of women who, you know, who to me, they do it all. And that was really cool to see. And so I also try to be that woman and represent, but also encourage more women to get into manufacturing. And we do have them, right? We have more women that are working on the shop floor, but women to actually raise their hand. And when they think about leading, right, to also think about operations, right? Think about going into the shop floor, right? Because that's where you can really make a difference and see that difference. And, you know, we're needed in that space. It's still not enough of us.
I love that you mentioned that you can bring your whole self, and that being a strong woman means having the gamut of soft skills. Mm-hmm. Whether that's empathy, whether that's being a good communicator, a good listener, a good collaborator, but also you have those technical skills, right? Because a mm-hmm. woman who comes into operation, there's a lot of skill sets that comes with that. A woman who comes on the shop floor as well. And I love that, you know, with human beings, there's so many differences, but we can work together. So whether it's female or male, we're working on this project, we're bringing mm-hmm. the dichotomy of our perspectives, and we're solving a problem, right?
Correct. Yeah. And when you talk about skills, I really value the StrengthsFinder assessment because I went to a conference a few years ago hosted by I think the National Black MBA. Yes. And there was a speaker, and he had talked about when you're in your car and your favorite song comes on, you know, my favorite song that we're going to talk about a little bit later, right? What do? Right. You naturally, you turn it up, right?
Yes.
You turn it up. And that's what we should do with our strengths. And so we all are branches on the tree, right, of mm-hmm. life, and we all have a part to play. And we should really heavily play to those strengths. But then there's also competencies, right? Functional and technical skills are the easiest to build. So I'm one that says I can learn anything. I've said yes enough times, right, that has built the credibility and also built my confidence that I can learn anything. I can build that skill, right?
Yes.
I can build that competency. What I don't spend a lot of time on is making weaknesses strong. I don't even give feedback like that to my team. And I definitely don't even walk my mentees through it, because I feel like it comes from a place of lack. right? And then it puts people in this mind frame that they have to do all of this extra work to prove that they can get to a place, when really the higher level competencies are about the quality of the relationships that you can build, right?
Yes.
Can you do work or get things done through both formal and informal challenges? Do you know who to call, right? Can you call that person? Do they know who you are, right? Mm-hmm. And that helps you, right, navigate the spaces a little bit more effectively, because yes, you can build the skill, and you should prove that you can build the skill and do it well, right? But there's so much more in the way of competencies, and then that's what we all can build. And so with women in manufacturing, right, women have a tendency to tap themselves out the game long before it starts.
Mm-hmm.
Do not do that, right? You do not have to meet every bullet point on the job posting, right? It's not necessary. You can learn it, right? Have you proven that you can learn something new and be good at it and be effective, right? That is your narrative, right? But when we check ourselves out and we don't say yes and don't go for that job, and we come up with this list of all these reasons why we're not qualified, right? We're giving the company an answer that they haven't even told us. Make them tell you no, right? Make them tell you not now, then make them tell you why, so that you can improve on that, right? And then and keep driving your career forward.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Make them tell you no. Make them tell you why. Listeners, Joanna Cooper, right here with me. You're listening to Live with Irenia Stories. And for sure, there's been some amazing golden nuggets so far and much more to come. I love it, right? We can do work together.
Mm-hmm.
Tap into the expertise, right? Mm-hmm. Focus on your strengths and tap into the expertise of your peers, your colleagues,
yeah,
the experts,
yeah,
to get to where you need to go to get successful in executing on that project, on that activity, whatever,
yeah,
it is. I love that messaging. Thank you so much. All right. So, Joanna, you've been very successful along your career journey, and I love all the advice that you've been giving to our listeners in terms of navigating their way in terms of looking at those positions where you're increasing your responsibility, saying yes, you know, working with a team, focusing on your strengths, tapping into the expertise that's required when you don't have it. With a big organization, how do you navigate this? There's over 10,000 people that work with your company, a global organization. Can you break it down for us, please?
Yeah, and I would say that it goes back to the core of my message, and that's say yes. When you start in a place, when I started at Detroit Diesel, right, I thought it was a small company. Then I realized how large Daimler was, now Daimler Truck. And so it can seem big and it can seem daunting, but you know, our ability to say yes to doing new things gives us an opportunity to easily work with new people, to easily work on new projects, and right, to build the business acumen to understand what the business is doing now and where it's going. And it can be, we tend to get good at things and get comfortable, right? And it's uncomfortable to move to something new because it stretches you and it thrusts you back into the starter position, right? Right, when you start working out for the first time, you're always sore, right?
Yes.
And you're waiting for the result to come. And that's super uncomfortable. But keeping the courage to say yes to new things will help you to go to a lot of different places. And usually at the start of your career, most of those people, you know, you're going to progress together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have a lot of people that do a lot of things, and they're going to be your peers for the rest of your time. And the degrees of separation are very small. So in doing new things, really try to build those relationships. And building relationships mean, right, take some things offline. Really try to understand what adds value to the other person. You had a recent guest on your show, Wanda Bowman. And she said, you need to know when to hold them and you need to know when to fold them. And that is really, really important, right? You need to know as you're navigating and you're trying to get things done, you need to know when to push your agenda and you need to know when to just let it be, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's really about relationships. And when you get into leadership, it's not going to be about you or what you want to do or your thing to get done. It's going to be about how can I add value to my colleagues so that they can do something for me, right? It is making a lot of deposits because we all have to make withdrawals. And if you don't say yes, and you don't go do new things, and you don't go meet those people, right? It's gonna really impede your ability as you go into the upper levels of leadership to be effective, because you need to know people. You need to have relationships. You gotta have people that are answer the phone when you call them or wanna even work with you on the other side. And so we will inevitably make people mad, right? We will inevitably disappoint people. That's just the thing of life, right? But if we do things with the right intention and for the right reasons, right, we will build the respect, the influence, and the confidence in the organization that, hey, this person can get stuff done.
Right there, listeners, this is some mega golden nuggets. Intention, you know, the way you act, the way you build those relationships is so important. And what you just said here, Joanna, Ms. Cooper, this is just gold. Thank you so much. Let's talk about your global impact project that you're working on.
So my local global, which I think you were trying to say, impact project that I'm working on. I recently got the opportunity to be elected to the Women in Manufacturing Organization Board of Directors. It's a phenomenal organization, and that is committed to supporting women in manufacturing on their journey. They do a really good job of inclusivity because it's women in all phases of manufacturing, not just trucks, not just automotive, but you have drug manufacturing, you have cat litter manufacturing, right? And it's the only organization out there established to support. And so I'm really looking forward to continue to invest my time, my energy and my treasure into an organization that's giving back so much to help other women find that space to grow in their careers. And they do things for both blue collar and salary employees for leadership development, as well as having the cultural differences. So recently they kicked off a session in Germany, which is, you know, it's near and dear to my heart. And so I'm very much looking forward to giving back in that way.
And that is a global organization, right? Not only in the US, you mentioned Germany.
Yeah. And it's still expanding, still growing, but it recently expanded to Europe and in Germany.
All right, awesome. So to all the women out there in the various fields of manufacturing, check it out. Yep. How can my listeners check it out, Joanna?
You can go to womeninmanufacturing.org and hit apply. It's very, very reasonable. There are locations everywhere. There's a lot of online and virtual content. So it can reach you where you are.
Right on, right on. Thank you so much. Now, we've talked about the big stuff, the important stuff, and we're going into even more important stuff in terms of what puts a pep in your step, a pride in your stride every day, Joanna?
Well, I love learning. So yes. I love a good book. I read a lot. And, you know, I love good music.
Talking about music, What favorite music do you have on your audio player?
My favorite song is so it's super nostalgic. It's a song by a blues artist named Johnny Taylor. It's called The Last $2. And it takes me in back to sitting in the back of my dad's conversion van on the road through Mississippi to Louisiana, every single road trip we had with a cassette player in the deck. And so even to now, when that song comes on the radio, especially here in North Carolina, and it's if it's sunny, the sunroof is open, I'm turning it up, and that takes me right back to that place.
All right, that's awesome. And when we talk about books that have impacted your life, what book right now that's firing you up?
Oh man, right now. Right now, not so much fire. However, one of the books that I've read recently that really helped me in my life was the book on boundaries. And especially as a woman, oftentimes we get afraid to tell people no. And saying no is because we don't want to disappoint them. And so then we end up saying yes to things that either overextends us or that we're not really sure of, right? And then, we go through our own mental spiral. And so when I read the book Boundaries, it's by John Townsend and Henry Cloud. When I read that book, right, one of the things that I took away, because it was somewhat on a spiritual perspective, it was like, hey, every morning Jesus had to go up in the mountains by himself, right? We know, and if he had to do it, right, why don't I have to do it, right? Why don't I have to take time for myself? Why don't I have to start creating that space? And then they later went to talk about how boundaries is the most spiritual thing you can do, not the least, right? To teach people, right, where the guardrails are for your own life. And it doesn't mean that you're being mean. It doesn't mean that you're not willing to negotiate or anything else like that, but our ability to hold ourselves in the right space where we can show up as our best selves is really important. And the people who respect our boundaries respect us. And the people that don't, they also tell us how they feel about us. So it was just an eye-opening thing because, and that I wish I would have learned sooner in life. So parents teach your kids how to set boundaries. It will help them through their 20s because that sucks. And had I learned that earlier, I probably wouldn't have made a lot of as many life mistakes, right? And because I would have been able to assign the true value of the relationships that I have with other people and right and how they feel about me with something a little bit more tangible.
Love it. Thank you so much for this. We've talked about a lot of things, Joanna. And now I just want your last words of wisdom to our listeners. What's next for you? What do you want to leave us with thinking about Joanna Cooper?
Oh, about being, I just want to be example of what, walking by faith looks like. I think that when we grow up, it's easy to become type A because we learn how to do things to get things. We have to get good grades to go to college, right? We have to clean our rooms to go outside, right? We do things to get things. And we oftentimes try to take that through our lives. In my travels to Germany, and I think that's really, really first started to me when I grew up, I learned that life eventually asks you for more than just doing. It asks you for believing, right? That you have to have faith in something that you don't know how to figure out. And then that's where you start to get the new exponential returns that'll really give your life purpose, really give you a trajectory, that'll really give you the passion that you want to get up every day. So if you're not excited about what you do, have faith, right? Put your trust in something. Don't ever stop dreaming. Because, one day, will be my last day, but I can guarantee you my dash is going to mean something. It's going to mean something because I trust that I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the place that I'm supposed to be doing it now. And I am willing to say yes to the next thing that I believe God has taken me to, right? So that I could fulfill ultimately his purpose. And right, that's just who I am. And if I can inspire and encourage anyone to go on that journey, I can promise you, your life will never be the same.
Right on, right on. I had a total goosebump moment here. Wow, that is awesome. Joanna Cooper, thank you so much for coming on. I know that our listeners was blessed by our conversation today. You had so much wise words of wisdom. And to continue the conversation with you, how can they connect with you?
Please connect with me on LinkedIn. Joanna C. Cooper is my name. I'm there often, and that's the best way to reach me.
All right, all right. Thank you so much. This is absolutely awesome. Good to have you on, Joanna.
Thank you so much, Irenia, for having me. This has been a blessing, and I have truly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for what you're doing.
Okay, you're welcome. Listeners, was this episode with Joanna the most epic yet? I mean, this girl, she was very well prepared for the interview, and I so loved our conversation. And if you loved it too, hit that follow button on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts, because I have some more fabulous guests coming up. In fact, just hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast player so you can never miss an episode. You can also tune into Blog Nuggets at www.irenarussell.org. If you would like to be a guest on this podcast, I am taking in guests on a rolling basis for this season. And also, if you'd like to sponsor an episode or an entire season, let's have a chat. I would love to talk to you. Thank you, listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in and coming back here again. I know wherever you are listening that you have been inspired. And please do share this with a friend who you think will benefit from hearing not only these episodes, but all the episodes that you've listened to. So this is it. This interview was conducted remotely in my home studio. I'm your host, Irenia Roussel, and this is Live with Irenia Stories. I hope that you, yes you, get revived in your current career adventure or get super motivated for the new adventure that you're going to go on in 2023. Right?